around here. 1 Peter chapter 2. If you don't mind, 1 Peter chapter 2, if you have your device or your Bible along with you. Last fall, I was driving down Hershey Hill into Hanover when I saw two young men with guns slung over their shoulder crossing the highway. I was a little startled until I figured out what I was looking at. There was a farmhouse on the right, patch of woods on the left. They were going to go hunting. And then I was kind of wondering, why was I startled? Where I come from, that was a rather common sight. In fact, back in the day, it wasn't unusual to see pickup trucks with rifles in the rack in the back window, and you'd see that at shopping centers, at churches, schools, wherever you went, and it was just part of life. Seeing a guy walk down the side of the road with a gun, just normal living back in those days. And so I started thinking, well, why would it startle me now if that's the way I was raised and it was such a common thing? And the answer I came up with was, somewhere in time, people started shooting other people. That's what changed. The guns were not the problem. The people have changed. Armed people started shooting unarmed people, what they call soft targets. They'll walk into a theater or a church or a school where they know that there's just a group of innocents, and they'll just open fire. It's a new breed of criminal. They're not stealing anything. They're just killing to kill. They don't have any personal grudge against the people that are their targets per se, or usually. They're just killing. It's the epitome of cowardice. You're armed, they're not. Wanting to kill yourself is one thing, but deciding to take out innocents, people you don't even know, hell awaits such people. We need good citizens. We need people who desire to protect the weak, help the broken, feed the poor, clothe the needy. Peter tells us in today's text that describes Christians. Christians who are citizens. Saintessons, I'm going to call them today. We need saintessons. Christians who are saints, good citizens. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the King. Lord, great words. Sometimes in our individualistic culture, in our independence mindset, we forget that we're part of a fabric. We're not out there on our own. Peter's already been telling us we're living stones built together. I am responsible for the influence that I give in my part of the building of God. And we are responsible. Help us today, God, to get a better focus, a sharper focus of why we're here and what that means to the next generation that follows. And we'll thank you for your help here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 13 reads this way to me. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. For God's sake. Not so much about you, but about the kingdom. What empire did the early church grow up under? Yeah, it was the Roman Empire. Did Rome begin as a Christian empire? Was she a good place for Christians? Well, no, not at all. In fact, Rome was so pagan that when it finally got on to what was happening in the church, in Christianity, she just roared, just ripped into, tore apart, would light up Christians in the arena, use them for torches, just dip them in oil and use them as lamps. And then the entertainment was seeing different ways Christians could die. What could a lion do to a Christian? What could a gladiator do to a Christian? And on it went. They crucified Peter upside down, the guy that wrote these words to us. That was yet future for him, of course. But even before Peter, they beheaded the apostle Paul. So facing this heathen government, knowing what's ahead, seeing the beginnings of the persecution, Peter writes to us and he says, "Form militias, organize a coup. We got to get them before they get us." Well, no, that's not what he said. He said, if we have a chance, if we stand a chance of turning such a huge ship from paganism to Jesus, if we're going to convince them to stop killing us and start noting our message, if we've got a chance at doing this, here's what we got to do. We have to become their best citizens. Now, wait, Pete. They're killing us. You're killing me here. Now, here's what you need to do. Become their best citizens. Peter, that doesn't mean, you mean I'm going to pay taxes to a government that is out to get me? Yeah, that's the plan. That's why he said, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. It's not going to always feel right. It's not always going to seem good. But you're doing this for the Lord's sake. It's not about us. It's about our Savior. It's about laying a groundwork, a foundation for the generations that are going to follow us. How many would agree that our culture is pretty pagan right now? You know, Christianity, the things that we grew up with that were just given, are now in flux. They are just laughed at. I had a pastor this week say to me, I know you assume that people that come to you for premarital counseling and so on, that they're keeping themselves pure for marriage. And he says, I no longer assume that. I thought, well, yeah, I don't know that I assume it, but I believe that's what God expects. And that's what, but even in the church, we're beginning to laugh at standards that were accepted practice because they come from God. And we ought to hold up those kind of standards. And so we're against the tide right now. The waves are coming and society's going a different direction. Oh, well, the easy thing would be, right, just go along with the tide. Just, okay, culture's going, we'll just go that way too. No. No. There are certain things we do that aren't about us. It's a larger picture. We are part of a family. We are part of an army. We're part of a movement. I want to see Christ glorified in the United States of America. How about you? We're not going to see that if we just go along with everybody else. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. Do what you need to do as a citizen. But hold on to the mores, to the standards of God. Governments aren't going to continue to execute their best citizens. You keep paying your taxes. You fulfill your military obligation and other things like that. They're not going to continue to execute their best citizens. Now, it may take a while for them to come to that realization. Dude, we're cutting our nose off to spite our face. These are our best people. Just because we disagree here or there, we need to stop this. It may not come in our lifetime that our society wakes up, but we can plant the seeds that blossom in the next generation. By the way, it worked in Rome. If they arrest you, be polite. If they execute you, die well. It's not about you. It's not about here and now. This life's going past real fast anyway. But you can make a difference as we move on. It worked in the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire became the Holy Roman Empire, beginning with Emperor Constantine around 306 AD. It only took a couple hundred years. It only took several generations of Christians willing to stand, willing to die. But the page got turned. And when it did, it was traumatic. Paganism was taken off of the map and Christianity came to the fore. Why? Because individual believers were willing to make a stand and say, even though it costs my life, even though it's uncomfortable, some of them lost their houses, their lands. They became slaves as they professed Jesus Christ. But Christianity went from being an outlawed religion to becoming the official religion of the empire. Evil can be overcome simply by obeying the laws of Christ. Bless those who persecute you. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If a soldier compels you to carry his equipment 1 mile, carry it too. As you've probably heard in the past, that was a real thing in those days. Roman soldiers could compel any citizen to carry their equipment. Imagine their equipment, how heavy. It was all metal and such. And you carry my armor, carry my pack for a while. They could, by law, compel you to carry it 1 mile. And Jesus said, you know what? If a soldier has you, do it too. What's he saying? Become their best citizens. I mean, what Roman soldier is going to want to knock off the people that's carrying their pack for him? So it begins to turn the tide. Catch this line. Rome ruled by fear and intimidation. Christianity conquered her by being submissive and kind. It's not the way of the world, is it? Rome ruled by fear and intimidation. Christianity conquered her by being submissive and kind. Those are your weapons, saints. Those are your weapons. Where you work, with our government, with the people that we rub elbows with, don't become more intimidating than them. Submission, love, kindness. Peter gives us a biblical principle. You can silence the talk of foolish people by doing good. We're all about the moment. They said this, they did that. What was I supposed to do? It's not about the moment. It's about a life lived for Christ. And in any given minute, you may look foolish. Any given day might be harsh. You go home feeling totally defeated. God works in the bigger picture. By the time the story is written, it comes out beautiful. He wears the victor's crown. He knows how to do these things. We were just chatting as we were getting ready for prayer, and Stan had mentioned, boy, isn't it something how it snowed on Easter Berlin? And now we're going to have a water baptism at Once the Rain. They were doing Morningstar yesterday. It was pouring down rain, and so they had... I said, yeah, God has to be more cooperative, don't you think? And then Steve said, yeah, but I think God knows what he's doing. I said, you think so? You think we could trust him? Even though you have a bad day, even though things don't go, you got all excited, you got all in line, and it didn't work. Well, did I miss God? No. Did you hear this before? His ways are not our ways. Have you experienced that before? He's got a different way of doing things than we do. And I know we like to give this testimony where a guy walks in and says, man, I went into work and I said this, they said that, and everybody got saved. Woohoo! They didn't happen to mention I've been working there for 35 years and they trashed my car and, you know, they killed my dog and they, you know, all this stuff went on. And, you know, nah. Story's not finished yet. You can silence the talk of foolish people by doing good. Oh, we like to have the zippy answer. They skewered us, and oh, we wished we'd have had a comeback. If you're anything like me, 10 minutes after they're gone, oh, you know exactly what, oh, come back here. Oh, I give it to you. Oh, now I know. Oh. But you just didn't have it at the moment. You can silence the talk of ignorant people, not by having a zippy, by doing good. Just be kind. Just be loving. Just keep doing what God would have you to do, and you will be an overcomer. You don't have to be a great orator at work. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. Just keep doing good. Just keep doing good, and God will be glorified in that. Now, something you ought to know when you apply this principle usually doesn't work overnight. Usually takes a lifetime. It may take weeks, months, years. Could take the rest of your life. Could be you won't see the fruit in this world. Could be it's after you're gone. I remember Jeff Blevins' funeral and how many guys from the place where he worked came to the funeral. And I remember Vicky saying that, so many of those guys, they ribbed him for being a Christian. You know, they ridiculed him while he was at work. They made fun of this and that. They had jokes out of this and that. Boy, were they humbled. They remembered this was a good man. His witness stood and it had an impact on the place where he worked. So you may not see it in your lifetime, but you can have faith that God's word does not return void. It accomplishes what it was sent forth to do. How many ignorant spouses railed against their mate as they went off to church? Oh, gave them a hard time about it. But on their deathbed, they came to Christ. Their mate stayed true, and it took a lifetime, but they won a victory. How many nasty classmates tormented their peers for being Christ-like from kindergarten all the way through graduation, who later in life came to Christ themselves? It doesn't seem fair, but it's effective. And God said, here's how we do it, church. Peter's gathering us together and said, here's how we're going to do it. There's a nasty government, man. They've got swords and spears, and they control the economy, and they're throwing us to the lions and everything else. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to be kind and gentle and loving and peaceable, and we're going to get this thing done. Can you imagine a whole generation living under that and trying to obey that and seeing no fruit from that? The government went from bad to worse, but they kept applying the word of God. In 306 BC, everything turns around. There was a Joshua generation that got to see the promised land. Say, wow, wow. Isn't God good? Aren't his ways powerful? Our witness works much more like water on a rock than a bulldozer through sand. Our witness works a lot more like water on a drip, 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 drip. I give it 1,000 years. Drip, drip. I see an indentation here. I give it another 1,000 years. Oh, give it a very long time. Grand Canyon. Oh, how to drip, drip, drip. When we're able to lead somebody to Christ, you can be assured there were a lot of drips before you. There was a grandmother praying. There was a mother who was showing the way. There was a deacon in the church took interest. There was a Royal Ranger leader that poured into them. Drip, drip, drip. There was a neighbor witnessing. Drip, drip, drip. You're just the final drip that broke through that last little bit. Verse 16 says, live as free people, but don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. As free people, you have a choice with what you're going to do with your life. Choose to serve Christ. Choose to serve others in the... Be a drip. So we move from the external, submit to authority, to the internal, don't hide sin. Sadly, after the Roman Empire became the Holy Roman Empire, that's when she started falling apart. The church flourished for a while. People got saved. It was tremendous. There was revival throughout the empire. But once the church became established, once the church became part of the government, we had popes and we had emperors, and they both wielded power. Sometimes the pope was more powerful than the emperor and vice versa, but they would give each other a wink and a nod. You okay my sin? I'll okay your sin and we'll get through. And both of them began to feast on the bones of the people. The church began selling these indulgences. You remember what those were? If you want to sin, you could pay up front. You come and give enough to the church, we'll give you as you are exempt from any punishment for thus and so. Have at it. Martin Luther finally came many years later and said, well, wait, I don't see that in the Bible, guys. That's just wrong. And when the covers were pulled back, when the veil was torn, the church looked so filthy and dirty inside. We said, how did we get here? Well, they got the power. They got this. They began to rule with intimidation and fear. And the church did what these priests thought their robes would cover their wicked hearts. Submit to every outside authority, but be careful inside. Okay, look like a Christian, be nice, be kind, be gentle. That's nice, but a greater danger is in your own heart. Because you can learn to act like a Christian and inside it be so dark and filthy. Your desires can be ungodly. You can live morally and yet be immoral. Your mind can be, your body can be clean and your mind filled. Probably not forever, because it's going to show somewhere or another. But what's on the inside is more important than what you show on the outside. And that's what we need to take care of. Self-indulgence fills cups of wrath before the throne of God. As long as Rome was holy, she thrived. But once she adopted this hypocritical Christianity, her days were numbered. We'll indulge, we'll do both. God gets fed up with that stuff, and that's when Rome fell. Live free. Enjoy your life. Don't become a slave to any vice. Don't be afraid, discouraged, or worried. But find your joy in Christ. That second part there, don't become a slave to any vice. If you have become entangled somehow in something of the flesh, get free. Get with God and He will help to free you from those kinds of bonds. And you must. It may take everything that you've got, but you got to be free. I got 2 mosquito bites on my wrist from mowing the grass the other day. And as long as I ignore them, I'm just fine. But every once in a while, they get a little itchy. And if I scratch them just a little bit, oh, it feels so good. But they get itchier. And then you got to scratch them more. And then they downright hurt and sting. So I'm trying to do what my mama taught me. Just ignore it. A couple days, it'll go away. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. You have a need. You have a desire. You think you can go to the world, do it the wrong way. Well, once you start to scratch one of those itches of the flesh, it becomes insatiable, and it takes over. Live free. Enjoy your life. Don't become a slave to any vice. Don't be afraid, discouraged, or worried. Don't use your freedom as an excuse to go back into sin. Don't use your freedom to cover up evil. Sin is available, more available to us than any other generation. We hold the world in our hands. And for whatever reason, they're very evangelistic about their filth. They want to share. You've been in Wise Market here recently? Grand reopening. They've remodeled. And in order to get to whatever you want, you have to go through the land of beer and alcohol. I mean, it's not that they... I was amazed. I thought, when I first walked in, I thought, we live in East Berlin, Pennsylvania. How in the world do they expect to sell this much alcohol? And I guess it was an education for me. You know, I guess I don't know East Berlin, Pennsylvania very well because, man, we must be thirsty. And it's the first thing, you know? Well, there's the bakery and then there's the... If you want milk and eggs, you got to go through the land of beer, you know. Just amazing. Sin is more available to us. It wasn't very long ago. You couldn't do that in a grocery store in Pennsylvania anyway. Couldn't sell all that stuff. Now we got all this giant in Hanover and now Wise Market in little East Berlin, Pennsylvania. It's available to us on your devices, the pornography, just trying to press through all the time. God is more interested in winning all of you than he is in you winning all the world. And this is where we get it mixed up. We think that if I will do God a favor, then that buys me an indulgence. If I'm a really good Christian, in fact, I could get to the point where God needs me. Ask Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker about that one. Yeah, he'll ignore my sin if I do a really good job for him. And that temptation comes to every one of us. I don't care who we are. If you're a Christian, the devil's on your shoulder and he's saying to you, you know, you were so good this week. You made it to church. That's most people look around. Most people don't do that. And you this, yeah, you deserve a little bit of poison in your food. God doesn't need us. We need him. And a sinful heart will not inherit the kingdom of God. Regardless of how many sermons it preached, missions trips it took, or people it witnessed to. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, that on the day of judgment, many will come to Jesus saying, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And Jesus said, I'm going to tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Well, wait a second. You mean I had a position in the church. I gave a lot of money. I worked on feeding the poor. You know, I was really loved. And you did it all for that. What you looked like in front of everybody else, but you never cared about what your heart looked like before the Lord. Live as servants of God, not servants of your pleasures. So the government's not applauding me, and so the neighborhood doesn't appreciate this. My friends all think that's silly. Well, who do you work for anyway? Who do you serve? Verse 17 says, show proper respect to everyone. There's a ring of humility in that statement, isn't it? Step back. Show them respect. Give them deference. When you pray, don't pray down on people. Lift them up to the mercy seat. Plead for them. God, I know that they're in the way. I know they're against you. I know that they're being it, but please have mercy on them. You had mercy on me. Please grab a hold of their heart. Lift them up to the mercy seat rather than shove them closer to the furnace door. Oh, God, they're terrible. They're wicked. Come get them. Get them out of here real quick. Burn them up, God. No. It says, love the family of believers. I have to say amen to that. Isn't it funny how often church people can hate church people? I don't mean individually per se, but we can get a bad attitude about church. Who do you think's the author of that? We can start to think, I'm good with God, but the rest of these people are all a bunch of hypocrites. Love the church. The devil will ever be working on just one at a time, groups at a time. Stop it. Stop it. Love the church. Love them. Pray for them. Lift them up. Get close to them. Talk to them. I give that advice all the time. Go talk to them. Go talk to them. I've talked to them. I've seen their heart. They love the Lord. They may have a different opinion. They may do things a little bit differently. Go talk to them. And maybe when you talk to them, maybe they'll be drawn a little closer to the things of God. Love the brotherhood of believers. Love the family of God. Don't pray down on us. Pray us before the mercy seat. Adjust your attitude. We were praying for a young family, and hopefully they'll come to the picnic this afternoon, but this gentleman was a youth pastor at one time, and they haven't been in church for a long time. He got hurt. He got hurt. And now it's very hard for him to come to a church, to fellowship with Christians. Got hurt. And there's a lot of hurt people in church. And we need to love, and we need to be gentle, and we need to reach out, and we need to rehabilitate. Even if they bite us, we need to keep trying to dress those wounds and understand, because there for the grace of God go I. So adjust your attitude from being, I'm embarrassed, I'm hurt, I'm angry. Okay, maybe you are. Is that of God? Do you need to lay that down? Do you need to stretch your neck out again? Follow God. When you love someone, you stand with them. You protect them. You identify with them. You don't cut them off. Members of your family may hurt or embarrass or inconvenience you. Isn't that part of the definition of family? They hurt, they embarrass, they inconvenience you. It's family. But you love them. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everybody that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And then Peter says, fear God. Fear God. Fear God. Fear God. That'll keep you from those secret sins. That'll keep you from those indulgences. That'll keep you from going down that trail until you've become entangled. Fear God. It'll become a good foundation for becoming a great saintison. Finally, he says, honor the king. Show respect for our officials. Obey the laws of the land. We're becoming a lawless nation. Did you know that? Did you realize that? We have laws in place. And when our president chooses to enact a law that's already on the books, we have riots. We have all kinds of protests. We're supposed to be a people. If the law is wrong, change the law. But we need to be people of the law. And when everybody gets the idea, we just do what we feel is right in our heart at the time. Oh, man, we're in trouble. Respect the laws of the land. Consider how we can serve our community. God loves a church that loves where it's placed. God loves a church that loves where it's placed. Years ago, we had a family that was attending our church, and the whole time that they were with us, I remember the lady just talking about the church that they were from. That was just the greatest church ever, how she missed the church they came from. And we would love on her, we would do what we could, but you know, always we just never measured up. It was the church that she came from. Finally, he was transferred, and so they moved out of the area, and we got letters back from her saying, oh, I miss the church so bad there in East Berlin, and it just, all the friends I had there, and I just thought, oh, dear me, love where you are. If God wanted you somewhere else, he'd put you there. But if you're here, this is where you belong. Look around and love the people that are around you. We're odd, I know that. But we're lovable. It's possible, with God's help, to love us. Don't shoot them. Work to save them. True of us and true of our community and the wider circle. Any given day, you can go home frustrated. Don't let frustration become the fragrance you wear. Do you hear that? Don't let the devil, don't let the enemy convince you. This is terrible, it's wrong, it's hard, it's this, it's that. Wear the fragrance of Christ. We are more than overcomers through him who saved us. And we're going to win this thing. I'm going to be submissive to God. I'm going to be kind to everybody else. And God is going to be glorified through that. Lord, help me to love the way I should love. Would you stand with me?